The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is November 6, 2014. We are sponsored by Fiorello Barbell Company here in Albany, New York. That's upstate. And where our motto is, we don't try, we succeed. And another thing I've been saying quite a bit lately is, and I love it, we're the stewards of strength here. We're the gatekeepers of strength. So today, we're off a little bit on our schedule, but we've got our good friend, Steve Helmicki. He's president of Primordial Performance. We're gonna talk about something that, well, we had talked about Sistema a few weeks ago. A couple of people had emailed me, and they wanted to have Steve talk about this, which he is very much a part of. He teaches it. But the interesting thing, I was reading a thing out on Facebook that Steve had posted last week, and he's getting into the winter training, and the two things he addressed was Sistema and the Hoosa Steel Stone. Before I bring Steve in, I'll give you a little quick history on that stone. When I went to Iceland, tore my bicep in 08, I just contacted Steve out of the blue, mainly because I love the way he wrote for Milo Magazine, which, if you're not familiar with that, I don't really want to plug everybody, but I will. Iron Mind is the company that produces that. So I contacted Steve, who owns a gym, and now he's into a lot of other areas of things, equipment and whatnot. And Steve helped me out without asking a dime from me. He didn't know me from Adam, but I developed a friendship with the gentleman since 08, and I can't tell you how happy I am to have him with us now here at Motivation and Muscle. So, Steve, you know, give everybody a little bit about what's going on with you, you know, the business, and we'll get started. And as I say, welcome to the show.
Thanks. It's my pleasure, as always, Eric, and appreciate your kind words.
Thank you.
Well, so I'm starting to shift training again. I mean, I from an athletic standpoint, the textbook is done, so I really, for the last 7 years, was mapping out cradle-to-grave training, just using the variable method and Verkhoshansky's, our interpretations of that. So it's completely mapped out. We finished a 1,500-page textbook. I had to put myself through that training if that's what I was going to apply for athletics. But now it allows me to reshift. So I have three central focuses right now. 3 days a week I'm training the Olympics exclusively, just because we are, you know, I'm a coach in that, and we are a U.S. A weightlifting facility, so I wanted to shore up and make sure that I put myself completely through that. But my primary focus right now and my fun is really starting to lift the Hoosa Steel Stone in preparation to potentially, you know, jump on that trip to Iceland with you. And then secondarily, you know, make my Sistema practitioner, my Sistema practice, keep taking it to the next level. So I've been applying both of those things and have really started in earnest playing with the Hoosa Steel Stone. And started the hard way this time. I think in the past, because I liked the heavy weights, it was easy to do the overload work. And even though I had gone over 900 pounds on that, I had this idea, well, I'll go over 1,000 and we'll make it, it'll make 400 something look like nothing. But the problem with the stone is, including the Hoosa Steel, is, you know, it's a slippery implement. It's hard to adjust. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get it in the same position that you're getting it in when you're doing partials. So I decided to just humble myself this time and start from the ground.
Steve, look, we know there's three versions of this stone, obviously. Right now, I know what you just stated, what you're doing, yep. Obviously. Are you working the stone alone, or are you melding it in with the Olympic and the Sistema, obviously?
Well, I did the stone. I'm sorry. I cut you off.
Okay. No, but my main thing is, because this will be interesting kind of segue into the stone. Because, I can tell you what I do, too, and I know everybody's going to want to hear about this because this is a very popular segment. Everybody wants to know about this stone. Are you doing other things prior to that? Are you dedicating, whether it's a day or every other day, to this? What are you doing basically?
So
with it?
Since I'm really using the variable method with the Olympic lifts, so I'm going light to heavy and still just very much technique work. So I did 10 rounds of snatches, you know, with, you know, nominal weights, 115, 135, one and one back, 10 times in a row. Did the same thing with the clean and jerks. Then did some auxiliary work, and then the heavy work in my workout now is completely dedicated to the stone. So when I'm done with all that, I go right over to the corner, and then I just start working the stone. So the speed of contraction work that was done off the Olympics, and then the technique work will show up on the stone. And so I'm really trying to apply the start of in the past, when I picked that stone up, I was picking it up with all back.
Sure.
And I have a very strong back, but I'm trying to switch to where it's both a squat and not a stiff leg deadlift.
No, because you and I both know that that potentially is a front squat. I mean, and you could call it a deadlift, obviously, but it's for anybody that's never seen this thing or lifted it, I wish I had the dimensions on me, but this thing is mammoth. I mean, the sides of that stone is a little bit over 8 inches, and I don't care. I mean, if you got stretch Armstrong arms, you could grab your fingers together, your hands. But most people are not going to even get, you know, you can bend at the point. The best way to describe it is when you bend your hand, it'll be over the side. I mean, you might be able to touch it with your fingers. I can get it there. But your wrist is not flush against anything. At least mine's not. I've always got some kind of, like, it seems like you can see almost daylight through there and where I'm wrapping around the stone. So just to give you a little idea of this thing, not only is it huge in stature, but to grab this thing and take off with it, it's a whole nother beast. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And since the people behind me were nice enough to pretty it up, I mean, they put a beautiful paint job on it where it changes all different colors, but it's like it's as slippery now as like the hood of a waxed car. So
if I
realized like, it wasn't so smart for lifting, it was beautiful to look at. But
yep. Well, I did that with the first one. I painted it red for, you know, like, you know, basically being vicious, you know, aggressive. And that was a bad move because we haven't even hit the snow yet. They're talking maybe this weekend. I remember the first time I carried it when it got cold, and I had to have a flannel on at that point. And I haven't always done that. I've gone out with sleeveless, but it butchers your forearms initially because you're not used to really carrying this. And the one thing I found, being a guy that doesn't really bruise real easy, I had multiple bruises and trauma on those forearms, you know?
Yep.
And I was like, I said, I don't mind being a hero, but it's like I want to be able to lift. So I don't want to be down for a week because my forearms are like just shattered. So what I did the first time, I'll never forget, I wore a flannel shirt, and I went to pick that thing up, and it tried to slide right off my shirt. I'm like, whoa. So I, you know, and you know, guys will say, well, use – I'm not – number one, I'm not putting tacky on a good shirt. I don't care how – you know, number one, that's cheating to me. In the summer, if it's real, real humid, I might use a little. That's the way it is. But to make a long story short, when you go to pick that thing up and take off, not only is that super slippery because of paint, but it depends on the clothing you're wearing, too. I solved that. Just kept chalking up the inside of my arms. That's what I did, my forearms. It seemed to hold it, but it is a slippery beast, let me tell you.
Absolutely. And I didn't use chalk today, which was stupid, but I was in a hurry.
Well, you know what it is, Steve? You know, with that thing, you know, I when I was talking to the guys yesterday, I don't know what it is again. Like, I've got Steve Jack's thing when, you know, the DVD when he went to Iceland. And that's what fired the whole thing up in everybody. You know, Bill Crawford and all those guys, it had to come from Jack because, well, they're all stone guys to begin with, but I think Steve started the whole thing spiraling because I remember when I saw that the first time, I couldn't believe it, you know. And I've been watching the hell out of it again, and I watched it again this morning before I had a meeting at 11 o'clock, and I was like, you pinch yourself, and I'll tell you what the deal is. It's like I'm watching that and I'm saying to myself, I've been there twice, man. You know, I'm like, I'm right. looking at that goat pen, and do you know, I mean, I've stood in the middle of that goat pen. I've sat on those stones where it's all built by Snorri Bjornsson there. I've picked it up, but I never got around. The storm was the second time. The first time was a torn bicep. So when I watch that thing, like, my jaw still drops, and I'm like, I can't believe I'm watching something that I was there, literally. Literally in that goat pen, in that church, in that little hodgepodge that his great-great nephew does all his stone carving in. It still blows my mind to watch that thing and know that you've been there and you know you're going back. And this thing that came up with the Husa steel stone was the only way I could figure where you could have total success. Now, other guys have gone there, have been in, they're all athletes, the majority of them. You know, they're throwers, they're Highland Games, you know, and they've all used different type of stone. But it's a lot different over there. I mean, the guys I met that were native Icelanders, stone lifting's just like breathing to them over there. Not that all of them got around with it. The majority of them didn't. But I felt this stone that we built was the key to success, and I hope 15 is I hope you get over there too with me, and we have total success.
Well, that's the plan. I mean, I you know, decided it's what I wanted to do, so I started actually training for it. You know, one day down, many more to go. As with all this stuff, you know, you just keep progressing, try to play it smart. And, yeah, and I still plan on doing something crazy overload-wise. I think I get a tremendous sure. amount of self-satisfaction out of it. So if I can, you know, hold a grand, it certainly helps your wrestling, you know.
Yeah. Well, right? here's the deal with it, all right? I my opinion is, and I think I'd like to – try it when I get back and have succeeded with it. And you've used it enough, but we're talking me and you here, all right? We're not talking anybody else. But this is my suggestion to you, and you tell me what you think.
Yes, sir.
When all is said and done, we come back, whatever happens, whatever month, whatever it is, because right now things are in a lot of flux with the business and everything. But the idea, I'm not training not to go over there next year. Let me put it to you that way. But you know what I'd like to do, Steve, is this. When I get back, take maybe 10 days off, just kind of enjoy the moment, which I know I won't. I'll want to be back the next day, but that's the way I am. I want to train that stone for 3 months, specifically the stone. I'm talking no more leg work.
Right.
I'm talking no more overhead. I'm talking no more weights for 3 months. Now, I might do a few things, some hand work, maybe some calf work just to keep them up, but that's the extent of it. And what I want to do is I want to build the program. You know, I hate saying heavy, light, light, heavy, all this stuff, but I want to experiment with this stone. And what I want to do is I want to experiment where I want to take my body weight at the beginning, at the midpoint, at the end. I want to see, and I'm going to go obviously with a diet that is going to be, you know, obviously high fat, meat, things of that nature. Try to go all grass fed, things that, you know, paleo, they call it. It's caveman shit to me, whatever, you know, but this is what I want to do. I want to see what I can do to my body physically, mentally, because, you know, I'm talking, you know how long my driveway is. I'm talking, I want to walk that thing filled with shot and filled with plates. And that, I know that thing holds over 500 pounds. Okay. I would just like to see what would happen because I don't think I just haven't had the time because I'm always getting ready for something to go over there or taking a break from it. But I'd like to just train that for specificity for 90 days. What do you think?
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, because I personally think, I think I could prove to a lot of people that that thing could probably get you in the best shape of your life. Now, I'm not saying that that's the only thing you do. If you don't want to, all right? But you and I both know when you're doing – now, look, you're doing Olympic lifting, okay? So, obviously, this is another new segment. You've done it before, I'm sure. But now this is like another new segment in your lifting career. And it's like you're not 15 years old here anymore. You're doing great things at any age, and you're going into something most people would never even attempt at 30, let alone 40 years of age, okay? And you're messing around with a stone, and we know that stone could be deadly if you're not careful with it.
Yes, sir.
And the thing that I admire about that, and what I want to do with this thing is, well, I'll tell you what, I mean, you train young athletes, and we had talked before we came on air, you know, maybe we build a lighter stone. I'll tell you, man, I think given the chance, and you got a guy like of your aptitude that's trained it in the same way with me, I think you could turn out some even better players, man.
Sure. There's a lot to be said for, you know, for training that way and lifting that way. Absolutely.
You know something, too, I like about it? I love the way that thing lays on you. I mean, you and I both know when that thing's heavy, that's putting a ton of pressure on your chest and every muscle from your head down. I've had the back of my head hurt from that the next day. Literally.
Oh, yeah. There's like, nothing like lifting that.
Like your brain stem. It hurts, man. You know? And the thing is, you can do anything with it. You can clean it. I've never put it overhead. I wouldn't even attempt it. If that thing ever came down on my head, I'd be dead. But the point of the matter is, you know, you can whip that thing up. You can obviously jog with it with a light enough weight if you got a good surface.
Sure.
You can do all types of step. I do step variations. What I find with that is I seem to have my best success with shorter, quicker, choppier steps.
Yep.
Now, I know some people do a longer step with it. I've seen them, you know, when we were in Iceland. That doesn't seem to work as good for me. The body seems to really move when I'm like that, like, you know, without being ridiculous, because, I mean, it can cause you some problems. But I've always felt that way was a lot better for me.
Sure.
No. What do you let's just talk about what would you do? I don't know if you're calling them set wise. If you're outside and you're walking, okay.
Yes, sir.
What are you? Okay, we know we've already established what you're doing before that. Now this is going to be the big lift of the day. Number one, how long are you going? A time limit on this, or do you go until you just pretty much say, "Well, I've given enough today. That's it." Number one. Number two. Are you using a progressive weight on every set? Or I know you're probably staying at one weight at times, but just give me like a little breakdown how you train this thing. You know, everybody, I'm sure, would be very interested in that.
So besides the difficulty of the implement, I mean, at this age, and, you know, I'm
yep.
going to be 48, so I train completely by feel. So the good thing about being divorced really from competition is that I don't have that drive to say, well, even if I wreck my body today, it's worth doing. So what I do is I train completely by feel. I took 5 singles off the floor today, and I think the way I have it loaded, it's 250. So yep. I took 5 singles. I changed the, you know, really technique work. I changed holding it a little bit lower, a little bit higher, feet stand. I never really – in the past when I used this, I never played with the starting position. And truthfully, the success of walking with that – unless you're picking it up off of a pedestal, like is really going to be dependent on how you pick it up off the ground.
Yep.
So I decided that I'm going to work on that technique, and 5 was enough today after doing all those rounds of Olympic stuff. And then I did, you know, I did swings with the 203-pound kettlebell. That was enough heavy stuff today. If I'll work the day today, and if I feel doing something again and my body tells me it's ready, I'll go do it.
So you would have no hesitation going back and lifting the stone then?
No, I would probably do overload work tonight. You know, in that 5 to, but a single into the 500 to 600-pound range. You know, which.
So Steve, have you done that then before? You've worked it on, off the floor, and then you've worked later on that night overloading?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay. Yeah. See, I've never done that. Never done that. I should
because
try
for
that
me it's time. A for me it's a confidence builder. Plus. When you're picking it up from overload work off the pedestal, I can place that on my chest exactly where I want it.
Correct.
So I'm going to have to find a way off the ground to get that where I want it exactly. It's not the same lift when I'm picking up off the ground because I can't get my – you know, I end up carrying that stone high
yes.
when I pick it up off the ground.
Can you see over the top of it when you walk with it?
Barely, but I hold it much lower. I hold it. Much lower when I take it off the pedestal, so it sits.
Yes,
it falls into me in a way where, you know, it's like I'm hugging it. It's much easier for me to hold and breathe, so that's why I was allowed to hold so much weight. If I can get the thing off the floor in that position, I know I'll be able to walk with anything. It's just getting it in that position.
position. Well, here's two things I would tell you. What I felt when I lifted it the last time is this. It's like in the Hoosa Steels do this too. They try to go forward on you. And what I've done, I think, to solve a lot of that problem, because what I noticed with the one in Iceland is that insertion where the pec inserts into the shoulder like that, it has a tendency to pull very hard on it. So what I've done, I told you this on one other show, but this is going to segue into the number two piece. You haven't seen it because this came after you were down at the house. We took 6x6s on the side of the garage. It'd be in the yard side. Went 4 feet down. We put a set of dip bars in. And this is what I want to do, because this might answer your question, and maybe you'd want to do this. We ran big, huge hooks and chains in one piece for the stone. Then we did another thing where we came down with these special cable-style things that they use in building, because the guy that did it's a builder, and they could hold an elephant. And what I did is they have loops in each one. So we have a pair of those hanging down. What I do is I can put any style dumbbell handle through there, load it. It's completely suspended right onto your pec.
Nice.
Push away. If I got to get out of there, Steve, I can get out of there. They can drop down. They'll just hang, all right? So I got complete safety by myself. But that's one thing I would mention. That's up to you. I'm just telling you from experience, I do believe that insertion is very vulnerable when you lift that stone, and who wants a tear? I don't. Okay. That's number one. Number two, when we built that chain drive, you know, in the yard on the 6x6s, I wanted something, because I don't know if I showed you the last time you're here. I think I had it built, is where we've got that big, huge, thick laminated beast that's got the same. We took PVC pipe, cut it in half, and basically it fits over the rods in the power rack, so I can pull partials anywhere I want with that. I don't know if you saw that or not. I don't know if that was built
no,
at the time.
No, it wasn't, and that's a great idea.
Okay, well, but you're going to like this one even better, because that's going to be one of the things that I'm going to be manufacturing. That thing is sick. Second thing is we got the big, huge toe chains with the carrot. Well, I don't know if you'd even call they're toe hooks that basically you can screw them in. I mean, these things won't break, period. Well, what I did with this thing is we made it, and we took the Hoosa Steel 3, and we put like a big, it looks like something you put in a bull's nose. It looks like a big, rounded hook that's welded right in the center of that beast. And what happens is we put that toe hook through that opening in the stone itself, lock it there. I'm pulling that thing right off the ground with the chains. And you know what the greatest thing is? Because the lawn's wet, I've fallen back on my butt before. It suspends it every time. So basically, when you're wrapping around that thing and coming up, all those big, thick chains are coming with you. And if suddenly, you know, I get a cramp or something like that, I just drop it. It falls right back down, and there it sits. It's just swinging until, you know, gravity pretty much stops it, or I do.
That's
so
great.
That's just a few tips for you, you know, if you ever wanted to explore that.
Thanks.
Because the next thing that is going to be coming up back there is, and I'll be able to do it with a stone, we're doing a big thing with a monster steel pipe that'll be down 4 feet. We're going to run these big, huge pulleys with logging chain hooked to a 30-gallon drum, and we're just going to fill it with shit. You're going to get on your knees and just pull that thing up, and we'll be using that for stone lifting and all kinds of stuff. I've got it all diagrammed. I'm just going to wait till the spring, and we'll put that in too. That ought to be a pretty interesting little piece of equipment there. Plus, you're outside, and you can get your ass kicked either way, you know, in the snow, the rain, the sun, the humidity. That's how I like to work, you know?
Of course, it's amazing.
It's the fun of it, man. That's the whole fun of getting ready to go to Iceland. It's like, I'm going to get my butt screwed to the wall probably 800 times before I get on that plane again, because here we go. We started, you know, the weather's starting. It's going to – this is when I was talking to somebody the other night. You know, they're like, how come you like the cold so much? I said, It's just me. I mean, I like warm climate, but I would never live in warm climate. It's just not what I like, the change of seasons, or I could live, you know, maybe up in British Columbia, or, you know, like I told you before, I wouldn't mind moving and living in Iceland. But the funny thing people don't understand about Iceland, Iceland's warmer there in the winter than it is here.
Right.
Believe me. So, you know what I mean? It's like everybody thinks Iceland, you're going to go there and freeze to death. I'm here to tell you, I've been there twice, and it's colder when you land in Logan Airport than it is when you're leaving Reykjavik. So, you know, that's the deal. You know, a lot of misconceptions, you know what I mean? But, you know, that's why we're here. We're here to set it straight. So what are you figuring if you do, if you do go with me next year, and I don't know, we could be going anywhere from May to before Labor Day. Obviously, you know, that's a big deal, especially with what you do. How long do you think it would take you to get real, real ready to the point where you're comfortable, where, you know, I figure if you've got 380 off the ground with that steel one, and you're doing the amount of partials that you're doing, I can't say you won't have it licked, but I would think you would be able to grab it and get it. But the thing is, there are no handholds on that stone. And as you know, you're talking about the way you're maneuvering the stone off the ground. It's going to be the same way with that animal, because, you know, one tilt the right way, you know, and you've got that thing up. Now you might be pulling the other way, and it's not going to come off the ground. So what do you think you're going to have to do between now and then? Obviously, you're going to do what you're doing, but what do you think you're going to need to really do to get, you know, set, ready, confident, and go over there and just crush it?
Well, you know, I think it's going to be a 6 to 8 month process for sure. I don't know what I'm going to be faced with in the next steps. I would say that, you know, and, you know, if any injuries come up or anything like that. So it's,
right.
So
oh,
it's
no,
hard
no.
to tell. You know, I mean, I'm going to just I'm going to train with it to fall in love with it and then see where it takes me, basically.
Yeah, you know, that, and that's the thing. When I was watching Steve's thing again this morning, it's very interesting how he puts it. You know, going over there to Iceland with this stone, it's like he said, it's like having a girlfriend or a wife. You got to kind of learn her a little bit. She's got to learn you. There's going to be things you might not like, she might not like, but you have to almost make peace with it a little bit at first. And then obviously you go over and execute it, you know, and there's a lot of truth to that. And, you know, one other thing he said that really kind of, you know, it hits the hammer to the anvil is this. You are really wrapping your arms around eternity. And I'll explain that a little bit, because, you know, that goat pen's been there for over 200 years. And the thing that's always mystified me about anything like that is we do know a few of the people that have lifted that. But just think of all the different DNA that's grabbed that stone, right from Snorri Bjornsson to, you know, Bill Crawford, for that matter.
Right.
All of us. You know, I think it's a very, you know, like he said, it's kind of like a romance almost. It's that's what really intrigues me about that stuff so much. It's you know, you're training for a specific thing. You know that's about a 5-hour plane ride. You're going to a different country, and the first time you're not really sure. I mean, you know, the thing I always admired about people that do things like this is they put themselves out. And hey, I came back that first time. That was probably I don't want to say it was the low point, because a lot of great things came out of that, but it was the first time, like, with any type of major injury. To me, I don't know if I'd call it a failure, but I didn't pick it up. I couldn't get to it because I already had damage done. But on the flip side, it was by far the best thing I had done in my life ever. I thought it was a commitment that I'd never had made. You know, I was always a committed guy, but, you know, and determined and, you know, disciplined. But to get ready for something like that, I don't want to say it took a lot of balls to do it, because I think it did and it didn't, but it was the idea that you put yourself out. Everybody I knew, I told. I mean, I should have never probably told everybody, but it was like I was so proud of it. And then you come back, and then the questions start. And it's like, you know, I remember when we got on the plane to come home, and that was like the low point of the whole trip, you know, because even when we went the second time, it really sucked coming back. I mean, I love the United States and all that, but, you know, the culture shock coming back to Boston even was like, I even said to Dennis, I was like, let's get back on this friggin' plane and go back to Iceland, man. It was that much, you know, Steve, and I was like, but the thing was, when I came back, it was like, you know, until I, you know, got in touch with you, it was kind of like, it was a bummer, man. It was a real letdown to have to come back and not be sure of everything at that point. But obviously now we're coming up on 15, we're ready to go again. So I think the idea is you live through these things, and if you really got the slats and the hunger, you can come back and do it. And that's what I want to tell everybody. You know, just because you go away and something happens doesn't mean it's all over. Now, there's other people mentally it affects and they never come back. I've got a few friends like that. They were great lifters, man. They had some injuries, and they seem to talk themselves right out of what they love to do. You know, so that's how I could best explain it to you. But on the other hand, I've got a great scar and everything there, and it's got Iceland written on it. And to me, that's what it's all about. You know, I went, I did what I had to do, had a little incident, came back home. We'll get it the next time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think that's what it's all about. I mean, if everything was handed to you on a silver platter, what good would you be? And we see too much of that now anyways. The idea of just getting ready, going away, doing something big, I would tell anybody, you don't have to go lift a stone. I mean, if you want it, good for you. I would encourage you to get on it tonight. But don't be afraid to put yourself out. Don't be afraid of public opinion. You know something? Most of the people that will criticize you or make some stupid comment, they don't have the guts to get off their couch. You know, so you got to take it for what it's worth. But I feel at that point, when you achieve things like that, they don't even come near you. You don't go near them. You know, it's like the old law of attraction. You know, what you think about most comes your way. So that's how I would sum that whole trip up in 08 for sure.
Absolutely. You know, and I think you can't, you know, you can't, once you start to focus on attempting things that are so large, I mean, there's very yep. few people that are going to have the capacity to, you know, whether you complete it or not, they're not going to have the capacity to understand what it takes to do something like that. So I'm at the point in my life, I could care less what people care. You know,
I'm with you, man.
You know, I have to do what makes me happy and, you know, and I've come out, my head's a lot clearer now. And, you know, you had the unfortunate dealings of having to go through a divorce. And I can honestly say it was a very hard year. But first time I can say my head is very clear. I'm training for myself, not for mm-hmm. numbers, not for other people. And it feels good. And I've built a place that, you know, I should be able to take advantage of. And you were kind enough to give me a gift like that. So rather than it be a beautifully painted decoration, it should be put to use.
Well, you know, that was the least I could do. I figured at least it was better than money in the bank, because I knew that not only would you appreciate it, you'd use it. And you know, that for will all be tied together forever like that, because you're the middle child, man.
Yep. Scary.
you're the middle child of the three of us. So, you know, your two brothers are down here, man, and they get abused very badly. But here's the million-dollar question, and I know you can give me a real good answer here. Let's forget all the mumbo-jumbo in all these sports, and you and I are going to, like, just strip here with everything. What is it you think that makes guys like us want to do things like this? I mean, and we could say the standard thing, well, you know, we're a little bit out there, whatever. But what do you feel? I mean, if it's only one word, fine. But if it's you give me a litany, I'm all up for that too. What is it, Steve? I mean, what would drive an individual? Now, I told you I watched Steve's thing, but I didn't have to go to Iceland. I didn't have to come up with this idea for this stone. What is it, man? What do you think? Is it the idea now I'm out of the competition, I want to do something, or there's got to be something very primal in you that wants to do this? So give me what you think it is.
Well, yeah, I mean, despite, you know, my business athletically training people, I mean, I'm a guy that's driven to try and lift heavy stuff, and I can put myself through certain things that are conditioning-based workouts, but the euphoria that happens for me and being able to, like, you know, even you could say it's a partial. For me to hold 900 pounds on that stone and even for 5 seconds and then imagine doing 1,000 pounds, I mean, it just – it's stuff that drives me. And I understand that for most people, they don't want to see it. But I don't – you know, I never start – very briefly, I trained for appearance. Outside of that, I really trained to be as strong as I fucking could. Excuse me.
Absolutely.
My language. And so,
don't worry about it.
And then – so and although I was a fast guy, I miss aspects of this. This has given me – I don't have to deal with the same three power lifts that I spent too much chunk of my life on. I'm with completely different stuff now. The implement interests me. And, you know, I there's a huge sense of satisfaction when I walk around with that. So I – it's and hardly anybody has it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
and you know – yeah.
And you're doing
no,
stuff
you got
that
a very
really
unique
say,
thing. Yep.
You know, that, and I hate to say it, but for me, I like to do things that other people don't want to do, can't do, or aren't willing to do.
No, I totally agree with that, because I'll tell you one thing. You'll feel your manhood when you're walking that thing. There's no doubt about it. And the thing I like about it, it incorporates – I know, you know, somebody would argue all day with me. I understand powerlifting, Olympic lifting, you know, standard bodybuilding. I'm not talking about the shit today. I'm talking the John Grimmick style, the old timers, you know, with the bent presses and all that. I equate more of that to like what we're doing with this stone. But what I found so fascinating with this, it's an implement that now I've had other people over here lifting it. And I got to tell you, the ones that came over here to lift it, now they're not here much anymore, obviously due to other things, I'm sure, but they really liked it. That was a thing. I mean, these are people that never even lifted stuff. And, you know, I would start them out in the power rack with that setup I had. And the thing is, you know, most of them could lift it because I'm trying to remember. I think the H1 is, I want to say 165 empty. The H3, though, is 185 empty. And I don't want to say it's a little narrower, but it seems a little – it's got a little bit more height to it than the one. Now, yours, the two, is built exactly like the one. We screwed around with the three a little bit because that's when we got in – I'm trying to remember yours. I believe yours is split. I think you could fill – I don't remember. Did we have
yeah,
just
you could
a
fill
top
two,
fill
you could
on
fill
yours?
Two spots.
Okay, all right. Now, with the three – we built all these chambers with a split in it, so you can load top, bottom, obviously, and obviously you got the plate trees on the top, which was one of the smartest ideas I ever came up with, because until we changed the H1 around, you could only fill it from the bottom. So being it was bottom heavy like that, it was a bitch, man. And it became... And look, it's anything unwielding is great. I mean, it's going to work ligaments, tendons, muscles you never had. But the thing I became a little bit concerned with was this thing could end up like flopping on you, you know, like flopping forward too much. If you zigged and zagged a little bit, it kind of just – it shifted way too much. And I'm all for that, but I'm also want to keep my shoulders from not blowing off my, you know, my traps and – so I felt that we had to come up with another way. Besides that, it was a lot easier. I didn't feel like pulling that damn plug out every time. It's a pipe plug, and you need a pipe wrench to do it. So I said to Alex, I was like, why don't we put horns up on the top here, and I can start loading plates. And that was really the brainchild of that thing because, you know, say I had 250 in it, and I'm like, well, man, I'm not going to go put, like, another 25 pounds a shot because I got to weigh it and all that. Well, now I know that I can put 100 on each plate tree, and guess what? I've got my stone now. I got a little bit of equal, I got an equalizer somewhat on the top of that. And then obviously we made some changes and you can fill it from the top now. But the plate trees was the smartest thing I had with the whole deal, because I think it allowed you to train this. I think, I don't want to use the word safe, but I guess I will. It allowed you to train in a fashion where I think the probability of getting hurt was quite a bit less doing it this way. Plus, I don't want to be having to, you know, when I'm training, you're too whacked out anyways. I don't want to be trying to grab shot out of a bucket and trying to fill it, because chances are my hands will be shaking literally trying to put the shot in. So I did it this way. And I think that was like the smart money on that stone.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, just from overloading it, what the hell would you do? You'd have to flip the thing over every set and dump 100 pounds of shot in it? Come on. I mean, it's like, you know, when you're training like that and you're all hypered out, how the hell are you going to be, you know, you're not going to be able to do it. It's just not going to happen. Plus, you and I both know, I mean, you don't want to be taking multiple minutes off between sets having to do that. You know, that can screw your work up too. So that was a good thing. It made walking a hell of a lot, I don't want to say easier, but I'll say a little more balanced. And, you know, here we are today. I mean, 1, 2, and 3, if I get my way next year, I have a idea for version 4.
Amen.
And it's going to be very interesting what I'm going to do to version 4. I think it's going to be quite a bit different than what we got. Let me put it to you that way. I think the filling is going to be all different. We might even go with a rubber style with it. In some parts, I wouldn't mind being able to like take that thing and bounce it off the ground like a basketball, man. I'm serious with you too. Yeah, there's a lot of things. I've got a couple different scenarios of that drawn up that I want to do. It's just going to be a matter of when we can get to it, because it's going to be quite. I think the protos are going to be a little bit costly. What I want to do, and obviously it's a time factor, because when Alex does that, I mean that's an all day deal. I mean, you know, you're welding and banging and having to go out and get stuff. But I would really like to expand on these stones. I really think they're the cat's meow, so to speak. You know.
And I fully agree.
What else you got? You got anything else you want to talk about with it?
No, I think as we progress, I think it's probably something that we should touch on at least a little bit. You know,
each time
we sit down and talk, because you know, I'll let you know. You know, what struggles I faced and what needs to be corrected next time around and where we're at. And
I love all that. I'm going to, just so you know, I don't know if it's going to be this weekend. If it's not this weekend, next weekend I will start carrying. I'm ready to carry. You know, I can pretty much go do what I want to do. I mean, you know, I got lights all outside and stuff.
Absolutely.
And you know something, Steve? This is what word do I want to use? What's the best word you'd use when you kind of want to be left? Men are usually very shit. I can't think of the word. Solitary?
You know, as far as doing something on your own, yeah, it's solitary work.
This is something that I like, and I don't care about the weather or anything like that. This isn't something I need to be involved with anybody with. The only time I do like, obviously we want to film, and we are going to start filming now right till I leave for Iceland. You know, Dennis will come down, obviously, because I'm doing all that stuff with him now for the second part of the weight loss MP4. You know, you didn't do it with us that day, but, you know, a thing I could tell you, too, that I've had great success is, we run those plastic 55-gallon drums.
Yes.
And what I like to do is set up like a course. And one thing I found with doing them, I love doing, is I'll spread 3. And I'll have plates at every station. And I might come down initially, say, with 185. We'll load it to maybe 240, gun down there, strip it. Probably come the whole length of the driveway again at 185, go down, you know, right to the beginning of the garage again, probably load it now to at least 260, depending on what we're going to go for the day. probably at that point we wouldn't go any more than 300. But I'll tell you what, you want to talk about getting conditioned? You know, you and I don't have to tell you. I mean, when you're using a huge weight, say you're running 30 feet with it, and I can go pretty quick with that type of weight, dump it initially, because this is where, like, Dennis will come in handy, because you need another person. Because sometimes, you know, like you're saying, I have the same thing. I'll be coming down so hard, I don't even know, like, what I try to do without knocking it over is I try to hit it with my thighs, or he'll be like, you're on it right now. And he'll, like, be kind of supporting it, because what happens with barrels in this weather, like the stone, they're hard to begin with, and they can become kind of slippery in the cold when they meet. We're at that point, one of us is just throwing the plates on, putting the nut back down on them. Way we go to the next barrel, he'll follow me down, and that's where it comes in. But I'll tell you what, you want to blow your heart rate up. There you go, man. So that's another little tidbit I'll leave you with. It's good stuff, and we're going to have a lot now. Steve's doing it. We'll have a lot of reporting on it. I'll have a ton of reporting on it. You know, we got our YouTube channel. You're going to see a ton of YouTube stuff, and you're going to get to follow what we're doing. And then, you know, next year, I'm definitely going to release something really, you know, good with that stone. We might have two or three versions of that thing, so it's going to be very interesting, so stay tuned. So, Steve, you got anything else, brother?
No, sir. Thanks for the opportunity to speak with you again. It's always my pleasure.
Absolutely. Now, give everybody – I know you don't like doing this, but give everybody the information, you know, and you know, I want you to you know, I want you to tell people about yourself. I want people to come out and look at you.
Sure. PrimordialStrengthSystems.com is the primary website. We also have PrimordialMan.com. And something that you'll look forward to and you'll start to see come up is – we have Strength Coach TV. We've owned the site for a long time. We'll be putting it up fully, and we'll be asking for participation from some of our listeners who are very interested in turning that into a teaching portal for strength coaching. So that's something that's coming up next. Logos are all done. There is a Facebook site for that, so you can take a peek and look for it, and it's already up on Twitter. We're finishing up the site right now.
Great. I remember that years ago you had that.
Absolutely, and just took it down and cleaned it up and going to start doing it the right way.
Well, it's good to get the message out there and get people, you know, rolling. I mean, that's what we're doing here. I mean, this is why you guys are on. We want to, you know, we want to put out the best shows we can and you know, educate people. And books and everything are great. I'm a big book supporter, but, you know, when somebody wants to throw something, some social media on real quick, this is the best way to get our message out, so... You got anything else, Steve?
No, sir. Thank you again.
Okay. Well, this is Motivation and Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We are sponsored by Fiorello Barbell Company. That's www.fiorellobarbellco.com. We're on Facebook at Fiorello Eric, and we have a new Facebook page called Motivation and Muscle. We're on Twitter at Fiorello Eric. We are on iTunes and Stitcher. And, you know, if you go out to iTunes and you're downloading the show, you know, give a review of it. You know, we'd like to have 100,000 downloads by the spring, and we're doing very, very well here due to your participation. If you need to get a hold of me, it's fiorellobarbell@nicap.rr.com. Go out and look at the two new websites. They're not even a month old between the two of them. Eric Relou from Canada is our web guy. The guy's phenomenal, and I can't thank him enough. And, you know, I want to thank all the nice notes I've gotten from people and the phone mail, and can't thank you enough. I'm glad this show is resonating with everybody, and we're only going to get better. We got guys like Steve on that have been doing this a long time, and they've got a lot of knowledge to pass along, and now that he and I are both working with the Hoosa Steel, this ought to be pretty fun, because like Steve said, he's going to give some updates. I'm going to give updates. And hopefully I got a lot of film for you. So Steve, once again, thanks, man. I'm glad to have you.
Thank you, sir. Much appreciated. Have yourself a great rest of the week, and thank you for what you're doing for the strength community.
Thank you, man. And I appreciate all you do. So for Steve Helmicki, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening to the show. And Steve and I will talk to you next week. Go out and crush some iron, and remember this, for sure. Become a steward of strength. Become the guardian.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.